This morning's sermon is called The Fourfold Witness from the book of John, chapter 5, verse 31 through 38, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I mentioned before the reason or the main purpose of the Apostle John writing this Gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And listen, and by believing in Him, you may have eternal life in His name. It's the main purpose for John writing this Gospel. John's message to us, Jesus is God. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. And without Him, you cannot have life. John wants us to know that. He wants us to know that Jesus is the only Lord, the only Savior, and our only hope. John's message, the eternal God Himself has become flesh and lived among us. The Creator has become part of His creation. And why? That He may save us from our sin, death, judgment, and hell. That's why He came, to save and seek, right? To seek and save the lost. In this morning's passage, Jesus is still talking to these same religious leaders from back in verse 16. This is the same conversation. It's going to go all the way to the end of this chapter. He's having this conversation. It started at the pool in Bethesda when He healed a man who was sick for 38 years on the Sabbath. Right? Remember we went through that? This is the same religious leaders that are giving Him a very hard time for healing a man on the Sabbath. Instead of them being moved by Jesus' miracle, they sought to kill Him because He healed a man on the Sabbath. You see how lost these people were? They sought to kill Him for healing a man who had been sick for 38 years. They wanted to kill Jesus because He claimed to be God, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And they thought it was blasphemy. So this is the same conversation we've been going through since verse 16. So Jesus now is going to bring forth witnesses that validates that He is the Christ, He is the Messiah, He is the Son of God, God in the flesh, in this passage. Jesus tells these religious unbelievers, I am going to give you all the evidence you need to prove that I am who I say I am. And by believing in Me, He tells them, you may have eternal life in Your name. So let's take a look at verse 31 and 32. Jesus said, if I bear witness of Myself, My witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of Me, and I know that the witness which He witnesses of Me is true. What is Jesus telling us? What is Jesus saying here? We know that He isn't saying that His testimony isn't true, because in John 8:14, Jesus said, if I bear witness of Myself, My witness is true. For I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from, and you do not know where I'm going. He's telling these same religious leaders in chapter 8. Jesus is making a reference to Deuteronomy 19:15, where it says, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits, but by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. Right? So Jesus knows these Old Testament Pharisees, they knew this in the Scripture. They would have known this, so He said. So He brings up Deuteronomy 19, right? These religious leaders, they knew this Scripture. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, don't just take My word for it. I can bring forth two or three or four witnesses that validates and testifies that I am the Son of God. And Jesus also said, there is another who bears witness of Me, and I know that the witness which He, the Father, witnesses of Me is true, right? Speaking of the Father, right? Jesus is going to point, provide testimony to his deity in this passage to these religious unbelievers. And he does so by starting with John the Baptist. He's going to bring forth John the Baptist as his first witness, right? His first testimony in verses 33 and 35. So let's take a look at these verses. Jesus says to these men, "You have sent to John," John the Baptist, or went to John, "and he bore witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He," John the Baptist, "was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." John the Baptist was the first prophet in 400 years since the prophet Malachi. He is the first prophet in 400 years on the scene. And Jesus tells them, he says, John the Baptist's testimony did not originate in himself. Okay? It came from my Father. Right? Jesus tells them, John the Baptist was sent from God, from my Father, which is in John 1:6. John the Baptist was sent from God. Jesus tells them, he says that John the Baptist was sent from my Father, and he came to pave the way for me, he tells them. He came to pave the way for me, Jesus tells them. Jesus connects all of his testimonies right back to the Father. Right back to the Father, okay? He connects every one of these right to his Father, which they knew, the old scriptures, the Old Testament. And Jesus tells them also, he says, you received John the Baptist, right, for a little while, he says, but you are rejecting the one he preached about, right? How can you receive John the Baptist and reject what he said? You knew he was a prophet. John the Baptist was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. He came to pave the way for Jesus, as we know. And he always told his followers, follow him, right? When Jesus arrived on the scene, right, when he was coming down to get baptized, John the Baptist had a lot of disciples, a lot of followers. He pointed to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Go follow him, right? He was always pointing to Christ. John the Baptist told his followers, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, Jesus, who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit when one becomes saved, baptized by the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist told his followers, which I love, he said, hey, fellas, and he had a lot of followers, this isn't about me. This is about him, right? We went through this scriptures, right, a couple months ago. This is about him. This isn't about me. This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, go follow him. Go follow him. Remember he said, we read in the scriptures, he said, I must decrease. He must increase, right? Go follow Jesus. He is the Christ. He is who I said he was. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. And you know what? Thousands of people listened to John the Baptist and followed Jesus. Thousands were following him around. As you read through the scriptures, you see multitudes were following Jesus. A lot of those followers were originally John the Baptist's followers. John the Baptist did exactly what every preacher of God should do. Go follow Jesus. Point to Jesus Christ, right? Preachers, okay, are just a messenger of God's word, pointing people to Jesus Christ. Amen? And every preacher should do that. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about our Lord, Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what John the Baptist told his followers. Hey, fellas, it's not about me. Go follow him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, right? They were a testimony of Jesus Christ. Just like you're a testimony of Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a testimony of Jesus Christ as well, right? Let me ask you a question. If you went into a coffee shop carrying your Bible, and someone said to you, "You believe in Jesus Christ?" And you said, "You bet." And if he asked you or she asked you, "Why should I believe in Jesus Christ?" What would you say? Yes, he is. Well, amen. What would you say? If you don't know what to say, remember the theme of this book. Remember the theme of this book, why John wrote this book. Yeah, remember the theme of this book and say, this is why you should believe in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. And by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Amen? That's a good start, right? That's a good start. You may have life in his name. That's why I believe. Because that's what God said. Think of the theme of this book, because you may get caught off sometime out and about getting a coffee, wearing a hat with a cross on it, and someone may say that to you. Should I believe in Jesus Christ? Why? Be ready. What did Paul say? Be ready. Be prepared. Stay alert. Because you may get asked. And if you don't know what to say, just say the Bible says that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God, God in the flesh. And by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name, like me. That'll get a conversation going. That's a good start, right? See, I'm already equipping you guys to be ambassadors of Christ. Right here. Just think of this theme of this book. Let's take a look at verse 36. Jesus said in verse 36, look at this, look what Jesus says. He says, "But I have a greater witness than John's," John the Baptist, "for the works which the Father has given to me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." So Jesus starts out with saying, I'll bring a witness forward, John the Baptist. Oh, you don't want to believe John the Baptist? I'll bring another one. How about my works? Jesus is saying, I have a greater testimony than John the Baptist, which is the power that I have put on display. Right? Power over the elements, power over disease, power over the devil. Even power over the death. He says, if anything, he says, believe in my miracles, which you have seen. Believe in my works, he's telling these men, right? Jesus came to fulfill the things that were written about him in the Old Testament, as the Messiah would do, right? He came that he would heal the sick, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, the blind would see, and life would be given. And he was doing all these things. Jesus told these men, here's another testimony for you. My works, my miracles, these signs that I do, they bear witness of me because no other man could do what I'm doing unless I was God. So that is a second witness that he brings forward. If you do not believe John the Baptist, if you do not believe the first prophet in 400 years, then believe in my works, my signs, my miracles, which you have seen. They saw these miracles before their eyes. They saw a man get healed by the pool who was crippled for 38 years. Jesus says, get up, rise, and take up your bed. That's why they wanted to kill him. He did it on the Sabbath. And he claimed to be God, and he is God. And they thought it was blasphemy. Remember Nicodemus? We read in chapter 3, verse 2, what did Nicodemus say to Jesus when he went to him at night? He was a Pharisee. Right? He went to him at night. Didn't want to see his Pharisee friends see him go. So he goes at night. Right? And he said to Jesus, he says, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. They witnessed these signs. Jesus is like, how many more miracles do I got to show you guys? Right? I mean, he's healing everyone as he's going. The blind can see, the lame. He's healing people. right? In John 7:31, it says, and many believed. Many of the people believed in Jesus. They even said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs that this man is doing? This has got to be the Christ, right? John 10:25, Jesus told these same religious unbelievers, I told you, and you do not believe, the works that which I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. This is my witness, right? John 12:37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe. John 14:11. Jesus said, believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of my works themselves. These healings, these people are walking. That man was down on the ground, laying on his mat by the pool, 38 years. And I healed him. Look at him. He's running. He's skipping around. Look at him. He's never been so good. Look at him. Probably something like that. That's not in the scripture, but that's just what I'm thinking. That guy never ran so fast in his life. Right? As these, just so you know, this pool in Bethesda, just so you know, these so-called priests, these fakes, had to walk right by this pool every day. Thousands of people, this was called the pool of healing. Only the sick went there, and they laid around the pool, wait for someone to put them in the water. They believed that they would be healed. And these Pharisees would have to walk by this pool to get to the temple, and there's nothing written that they stop and pray with these people. Nobody. Jesus finds the one man, probably had the most burden, the most sickness. He seeks him out, and he heals him on the Sabbath in front of them. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. Right? John also wrote, at the end of this book, in chapter 21, verse 25, John ends with this. He says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world itself cannot contain the books that would be written. He did so many miracles before our eyes, we can't even keep track. He's healing this one can see, this one, he's jumping. And he's telling these people, if you don't believe John the Baptist, at least believe in what you see. Nobody could do this unless I was God. And they still didn't believe. Let's take a look at verse 37 and 38. Jesus said, and the Father himself, here comes the third witness right here, who sent me, has testified of me. He's using the Father as a third testimony, right? Another witness. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you. Why? Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Jesus gave these guys plenty of time to repent and believe. And Jesus brings forth his third witness, the Father. You don't want to believe in John the Baptist? You don't want to believe in all the miracles I did before your eyes? How about we believe in God the Father? The one that you so call, you say you're worshiping, but you're really not because you don't worship me. You don't worship me. Jesus told him, we read that a couple passages ago. He said, hey, you think you're worshiping God? You're not, because you don't worship me, the Son of God whom he sent. He says, you're not worshiping God at all. My Father himself who sent me has testified of me, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Jesus told these same men. This is a long conversation. He's having, hoping that he get them to believe that he is the Son of God. And Nicodemus did. He's the only one we know of in the scriptures that truly came to Christ. He knew he was the Son of God. But Jesus told these same men in chapter 8, verse 24, he said, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I don't know how much more straightforward can the Lord be. This is his word to the world. The Bible clearly states that no one can have eternal life except through Jesus Christ. Amen? No one can have eternal life except through Jesus Christ. Right? Acts 4:12 tells us that, right? There is no other name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved. There's no other name but Jesus Christ in which we must be saved. Why do you think Jesus said in John 14:6? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, says the Lord. We only are going to get to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Period. He gets to say who gets in and who isn't. We are trusting in his righteousness for our salvation. Just like the baptism yesterday, I asked everybody, if you were standing before God and he asked you, why should I let you into heaven? I asked each and every one of them, what would you say to God? Because I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why. Because your son died for me. And I live for him. That's it. His blood is what gets us into heaven. Right? What's this hymn we sang a couple weeks ago? Nothing in my hands do I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. That's it. It's all him. It's amazing. Amazing loving grace. Amazing. Now, in our next passage, that we'll go through, Jesus brings forth his fourth witness. I'm just going to share it with you. It kind of goes with this, but I want to save it for the next passage. It goes with that too. Excuse me. Guess who Jesus brings for his fourth witness? If you haven't read it, he brings the scriptures of God, God's word. He said, if you don't want to believe John the Baptist, you don't want to believe my works, you don't want to believe the God who you supposedly worship, let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to God's word. You know, so this is what Jesus tells them. He says to them, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are the things, these are which testify of me, he says. He says, listen to this, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. He tells them, let's go to the scriptures. Those scriptures that you read, those are about me. From the very beginning, from Genesis all the way to the end of the book, he said, these prophets were writing about me, he says. He says, but you are so unwilling to come to me that you may have life. How can one be so blind? How can one be so lost? Let me add this. How can one be so ignorant? We need to pray for these people. We need to share the gospel. Before I close, I want to share with you what the Apostle John and Peter wrote in their epistles about to us, the epistles about Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. They were close apostles of Jesus Christ. They were eyewitnesses of the Lord, and they have testimonies in the scripture. I want you to turn, this is very important, I have shared this with you before. If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to the first book of John. These two passages I'm going to share with you before we close are great passages for you to share with your friends and your family that are not sure. They're on the fence. You know, I kind of believe, kind of don't, need more proof, that type of thing. These are the scriptures you need to go to. Because these are eyewitnesses that were with Jesus, right? So I want to share them with you. And this is a good passage. And another one I'm going to share with you is say, this is why I believe, right? The Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. And they report supernatural events, right? A prophecy that fulfilled prophecy. And they claim that all their writings are divine in nature, not human in origin. They all claim the same thing. What's that mean? They're saying, as we wrote, we were inspired. We were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we wrote He says God wrote it through these 40 authors. And this is one right here I want to share with you. Go to 1st book of John chapter 1. If you didn't bring your Bible, if you're a pew Bible, you want to look it up, it's in page 1864. Or you can just listen along. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. Share this with as many people as you can. First book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Two great testimonies right here. Two apostles. Listen carefully, verse 1, then we'll close here after we do look at Peter's. John wrote, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, we have handled Jesus, concerning the word of life, that's Jesus, the life was manifested, was shown to us. He's writing to us, John, saying, this is true, right? He says, his life was manifest to us. He says it again, and we have seen and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have, he says it again, which we have seen and we have heard, just in case you didn't hear. We declare to you again that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And look at verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. John says, I'm writing this epistle to you so you may know that this is true and may bring joy to you, that you are putting all your faith and trust in Christ, and it's true. Amazing. John is saying, hey, we were there. We are eyewitnesses of our Lord. We saw God in the flesh. We were with him. Peter writes this just about the same thing. Turn to second book of Peter. Then we'll close. Second book of Peter. That's just one book back. Do it in your Bible, right? Second book of Peter, chapter 1. Peter's going to tell us the same thing. Second book of Peter, just before John's epistles. We're going to go down to verse 16. I'm going to read 16 through 18. That's on Pew Bible 1861, if you still have that out. Pew Bible, page 1861. 2 book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Listen to what Peter wrote. Verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. You know what he's saying? Hey, we didn't follow these myths, okay? We saw. He says, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. Right? Just like John was telling us. We're eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were with him. We saw the miracles. We saw what he did. We saw him heal people. We saw him feed 4,000. We saw him feed 5,000. We were there. And we write this to you, right? Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him, Jesus, from the excellent glory, the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then look what Peter writes in the next verse. And we heard this voice. We heard which came from heaven. Look what he writes. When we were with Jesus on the holy mountain. You know what he's talking about, Mount Transfiguration, right? Remember Jesus took the three? He took his three apostles, right? Peter, James, and John. He said, come on, fellas. We're going up on a mountain. And he showed himself in the glory. You remember that, right? Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter said, whoa, what's Moses and Elijah doing here? Right? And then we heard God. They heard God speaking to them. Listen to my beloved son. Peter says, he's writing this, he says, we heard this. We were eyewitnesses, right? This isn't a myth, he said. This isn't a fairy tale. We were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Share that with your friends and family. Witnesses of Jesus Christ, two of his closest apostles. Amen? So I'm going to be on vacation next week, and we're going to pick up in the second half of this passage, chapter 5. We're going to finish this chapter out, this conversation Jesus is having with these unbelievers, right? We're going to finish up on the 27th, God willing, right? My brother in Christ, David, you going to fill in for me? Yeah, right? Next Sunday? He's shaking his head no, but God said, oh, yeah, you are, David. Sean's already put it in the books. So be loving and let him share God's word that's on his heart. And thank you, David, for doing that. Let's close in prayer here before we sing our final praise song. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your scripture. We stand on your promises, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we ask you, Lord, each and every day as we pick up our Bibles and we read your word, Lord, that you'd continue to speak directly to us, speak into our hearts, Lord. Feed us spiritually, Lord. Draw us in more and more. Help us be the faithful servant you want us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.